A WA family's deportation backflip. What the Premier knew about the Perth Mint scandal, and could TikTok be banned in the US? It's Thursday, the 9th of March.
West the West Live with Matt Tinney and Kate Ryan.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Kate. Happy Thursday, or Friday Eve, as I like to call it.
I love
almost
that.
Almost there.
We've
it has been going quickly
it.
This week. I think you're on the money, the working on the Monday thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is something to be said about it, but I wouldn't want to do it all the time.
No, special case.
Exactly. And we have some good news to start our Thursday with an update on the Anish family.
Yes, you'll remember this family from India facing deportation because they have a child with Down syndrome. They're breathing a sigh of relief this morning after this government backflip. So the immigration minister personally intervened on behalf of the family after their 10-year-old boy had been labelled a financial burden. So this family now has been granted permanent residency, which means they can stay in Australia. Mum and dad have jobs here in the telecommunications and cybersecurity industries. They have private health insurance. They haven't lodged any claims with the NDIS or anything like that. So I think good news all round for this family. They were all smiles and were not expecting such a swift decision.
Yeah. Oh, I could just imagine that phone call that they would have got. That would have just been a massive sigh of relief.
Yeah, totally. And, I mean, we were talking about it yesterday. Mm. I think most average West Aussies would go, hang on, just because this family has a child with Down syndrome doesn't mean that they should be deported.
Yeah.
You know, they're contributing to Australian society. It shouldn't make any difference whatsoever.
Yeah, and I'm sure there would be some people out there calling it quite ableist.
Yeah. I mean,
just because this child has Down syndrome, why does that exclude him from coming to Australia?
Exactly. I mean, we're a first world country. We dig up billions of dollars worth of, you know, dirt and sell it. Like, why can we not bend slightly? What disturbs me is the fact that it had to get to this point.
Yeah.
That is really disturbing to me, that we think it's okay to deport people because they have a child with Down syndrome, and that's a fait accompli, like somewhere in a policy that's like, yep, that's what we do.
Tick a box.
Yeah,
oh,
I think
sorry.
That needs to be looked at.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess it just goes to show that these blanket rules don't work for everyone, and sometimes things like this need to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now it's been revealed that this massive drug bust last year, where $1 billion worth of cocaine, which was headed to WA, seized off the South American coast, has links to an infamous Mexican cartel.
Yeah, this ruthless cartel has emerged as the mastermind behind this $1 billion shipment of cocaine destined for Perth. So the West Australian is reporting the 2.4 tonnes of illicit cargo has been traced back to the notorious Gulf Cartel, also known as Cartel del Golfo, or CDG. So 12 people have been arrested and charged after police substituted those drugs for plaster, as we know. It's the biggest drug bust in Australian history. And how's this? That Mexican cartel is reported to be linked to the kidnapping of four US citizens that you would have heard about recently. Two of those citizens were killed, two are alive and back in the US. So obviously this cartel had their eyes on WA and Perth as a target.
Wow, that is, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, it's quite obvious why. They can obviously get more money for their for their drugs here than perhaps other places in the world.
Yeah, exactly. And now there's been an update on football icon and alleged child sex predator Barry Cable.
Yeah, we have a first glimpse of football icon Barry Cable. He stepped out a month after these shock sex abuse claims. The West Australian has tracked down the 79-year-old. Pictures in the paper and online today of him walking a dog. He was back in the spotlight, of course, after five women went public accusing him of abusing them when they were teenagers. A civil district court trial was held last month. Barry Cable was a no-show. We understand, though, that he contacted the court via email. The judge has given no date as to when the judgment in the case will be handed down, and WA police have refused to say whether they'll open a fresh investigation because, of course, this is a civil trial, not a criminal trial, but it will be interesting based on the judge's handing down of his findings whether WA police take action.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I suppose, like you said, it's a civil trial, not criminal. So what is the parameters for public interest here? But I'm sure a lot of people will be interested in this.
And the other interesting factor was that Barry Cable filed for bankruptcy. So, you know, it's not like there's potentially a lot of money going around for these victims, but quite clearly they want to be heard. And what then lies at stake is Barry Cable's reputation.
Yeah, exactly. And now WA, like we said, has been making news all around the world this week with this Mexican cartel with the drug bust linked to that. And the Mint admitting its diluted gold sold to China, but the main man in WA, State Daddy himself, says he had no idea.
Yes, he says he didn't know about it. Nobody told him about it until he saw it on Monday. He believes it's highly unlikely that WA taxpayers are going to have to compensate the Chinese who were sold bullion that contained more silver content than it should have. The Premier says he only learnt, as I mentioned, about the gold purity sold to China, not meeting specifications, on Monday night. So who made the decision? He says, well, I don't know the answer. It's a decision of the Perth Mint and their operations. So nicely skated around that one. Mark McGowan says the problem has been fixed. Everybody has moved on. The Shanghai Gold Exchange has continued to purchase gold from the Perth Mint. So obviously things have been cleared up. The opposition is calling for a royal commission because, of course, they've seized this flashpoint. But they're not going to get it, which means that we're not really probably going to get to the bottom of who knew what when.
Yeah, because I mean, you said yesterday that this was an industry standard. It just wasn't part of the
agreed deal.
Yeah.
So met international standards, just not the agreed deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now anyone who's lived in Perth in the last decade or so would have heard about or seen developments in Scarborough and all issues, especially with high-rise buildings. And there's an update on a controversial hotel development.
Yeah, so this 18-storey apartment tower and 12-storey hotel has been given the final tick of approval in Scarborough. This development is earmarked for Brighton Road, that area there. So the council had demanded the project be refused, City of Stirling, but the Development WA Board has given the go-ahead. So here's what the board has said to say about the proposal. It has acknowledged that it exceeds the prescribed height limit, but, it says, it does so in a way that is consistent with the vision for the area. I'm slightly confused by this.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously been a lot of residents, local residents, mm-hmm. who are concerned about these high-rise developments. But then we've seen that other one, the Three Oceans one, where the block is just sitting there and it's attracting undesirable characters, according to people in the local area. So, I mean, you can't have it both ways, can you? I mean, some would say, oh, well, you can just build a building half the height. But there has to be a commercial incentive for companies to put up these buildings in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a debate over, do we want Perth to be like the Gold Coast or not? I mean, what's wonderful is that you don't have this overshadowing on the beach like you get on the Gold Coast where, you know, suddenly you're in shade even though it's a sunny day. But surely there's a happy medium. You know, it astounds me, say, for example, at Cottesloe, that we have a car park overlooking
right
the ocean. You know.
And
that's,
I suppose,
terrible plan.
I think so too. And I think there's also, we've got so many beaches that, you know, why can't Scarborough be that one place where we have those high rises? Because how many other beaches have we got?
Yeah, and we've already got the rendezvous there.
Yeah.
It's like the ship already sailed a long time ago. I don't know what we're trying to protect in that area now, and it's been earmarked as a tourism destination. I mean, really, we should probably just have a light rail link or some sort of link between the city and there, you know, and you'd get a whole lot of cash injection because people staying at hotels in the city would go and head to the beach, an easy way to get there.
And that's probably the main thing. There's no public transport there except for a couple of buses.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's something that can be looked at, in addition to the myriad of other things that can be looked at to improve tourism in Perth.
Yeah, look at us solving Scarborough's
worries. Yeah, that's
it. And I suppose after the last couple of months, Philip Lowe could be seen as one of the most hated men in Australia at the moment. But something has been revealed where it probably could make it worse for him. And so this has just been revealed that after his 10th consecutive rate hike, people with mortgages are suffering, and it's been revealed that he had, in 1997, a heavily discounted, subsidised mortgage at half the rate of what it usually is at the time. And that was because of a standard...
It was an RBA scheme, wasn't it?
Yeah, so employees...
It hasn't done anything untoward.
No.
Just not a great look.
So this was in 1997 that he got his mortgage at half the rate, and the scheme was scrapped in 2001. So there's still about 11 loans remaining on that scheme, and he just happened to be one of them. He doesn't have a mortgage anymore because he has paid it off. Yeah.
Oh, my God, living the dream. Could you imagine that?
It just screams to me. Do you remember a few years ago when we had all of those, the uni fees were rising, and it came from all the politicians who went to uni for free?
For free.
Yeah.
Yeah. I constantly said this to my dad. I'm like, you went to uni for free. I'm paying thousands of dollars. Here we go. So, yeah.
Yeah, and now there's a lot going on in India this week, and Albo has landed with his counterpart, Narendra Modi, and he's just announced, speaking of education, that they're strengthening the relationship and they're going to recognise the qualifications of Indian students and have an agreement there to strengthen not only the strategic relationship, but, you know, the overall relationship between Australia and India.
Yeah, interesting, trying to position closer to India, perhaps, than China.
Yes, exactly. And Albo's visit is about 3 days, which is about the same amount of time as a test match, which, coincidence, I think not. So, Matt, are you on TikTok?
I do have a TikTok, but I'm not very active.
No, I'm the same. Sometimes I do get on those scrolling things and
I'm more like that with Instagram. I think that just shows that I'm older. Mm. Like, I think you've got the Facebook generation that's like, you know, the baby boomers now. Then you've got Instagram, maybe people more in their 30s, 40s, and then you've got the TikTok generation.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I'm on the Instagram where I watch TikToks that are 2 weeks old.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah. I'm totally that too. Yeah. And then go and share them with everyone who are like, we saw this 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. They're like, go on TikTok.
Yeah.
But TikTok has launched security measures to lessen concerns. It could be, you know, sharing user data with China, because obviously this is one of the main concerns throughout the world. You know, we've seen Canada ban TikTok from government devices. America is looking at that now with a new bill that they've just that the government has just backed. But TikTok has launched Project Clover, which will see a separate security company monitor data flows. And so it will make it harder for TikTok to identify individual users in the data. So this is in Europe, and they're looking at also doing Project Texas. So that's in the US.
As well. But so Europe seems to be at the forefront of these sort of privacy laws. So yeah, interesting to see what happens.
The Wild West.
Now, have you ever used a Ouija board?
Oh, no, I haven't, but it's taking me back, you mentioning that, to like school. It was like the Ouija board, don't play with, like some sort of Jumanji type thing.
Yeah, this is the exact reason why, because some school kids in America have been hospitalised with anxiety attacks after using a Ouija board.
Oh, okay. So it's not that anything freaky necessarily happened.
Yeah.
They're just so anxious about it, they've had to go to hospital.
Or maybe they have summoned a demon who's giving them all anxiety attacks. But teachers and parents have put it down to a bit of hysteria, so that all the kids are working each other up and making it quite hard for them. Lesson learned, don't use a Ouija board. Yes. And that's your news from the West Australian for Thursday the 9th of March. Don't forget to subscribe to the West Live on your favourite podcast player.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Kate Ryan.